The Iraq War, then. Magnificently successful. Fought for the right reasons.
Neocons.
Perhaps not. What with widespread speculation that it was all for oil, or that the neoconservative lobby forced Bush's hand, it seems that it was fought for the wrong reason. But hey, we got what we wanted out of it, right? One dead Saddam. Again, that's simply not the full story. You see, the way we got to it was catastrophic. Okay, so in our defence, the Iraqis were positively outgunned. The coalition, US and UK forces, had vast air superiority by virtue of the fact that Iraq had a pretty non-existent air force. The latest communication systems, including satellites, which allowed them to better organise their forces and effectively surround the Iraqi army, who, in these situations, tended to empty their bowels and surrender. I mean, faced with umpteen American GIs with itchy trigger fingers, wouldn't you? Speaking of this army, it was pretty awesome. Awesome in a sort of awe-inspiring way. Estimates put Iraqi casualties at between 7 and 12,000, compared to the coalition's 173. It took less than a month after the war's official start date, March the 17th, 2003, for the coalition to take Basra, and 2 days after that to take Baghdad. After that, Saddam fled into hiding, was captured after 8 months, and executed after a trial, which was another 3 years. Now, you may find yourself wondering, what part of this exactly is unsuccessful? But problems did start to develop. As the saying goes, it wasn't the war in Iraq that was the problem, it was the years of peace that followed. A few days after Baghdad was captured, looting and anarchy spread like a disease. To be fair, it was effectively a freedom overdose, as Saddam's hated security forces were at last gone. Moreover, the more impoverished Iraqis, of which there were a lot thanks to the sanctions imposed on oil profits causing Saddam to simply route more money to himself away from the people, saw it as an opportunity to get their hands on anything of value. Government buildings, hospitals, universities, libraries, factories and power stations were ransacked, as were homes in Baghdad. Old feuds also began to flare back up as Saddam's tactic had been to exploit these rivalries, and with his security force gone, it didn't take long for them to get going again. Also, many of the men in the various militias were joined by radicals trained by Al-Qaeda, who soon turned their fire on the occupying Americans, who were seen as there for oil and didn't really care for the people, to the extent that they couldn't even provide working power and water. By about July 2003, the US military had to admit that they were facing a serious insurgency. The coalition troops were vastly underprepared for this, and for the most part merely spectated. As a result of these things, the people's quality of life was soon worse than it had been under Saddam. After this, the people turned to traditional authorities, like tribes and even local warlords. After the army had upped and left, a lot of the soldiers binned the fatigues, but kept the weapons, so it wasn't difficult to get hold of a firearm or two. By autumn 2003, Muqtada al-Sadr, a radical cleric whose family had run a large welfare operation, but when people came to him in need, decided to turn to a militarily and politically based operation, effectively ruled most of the Shia estates of Baghdad, which became known as Sadr City. So what, overall, went wrong then? Well, to sum up, the troop levels were too low. Experts had said that 300,000 to 400,000 troops were needed and 130,000 were sent. Somewhat inadequate planning. The US didn't start planning how to run Iraq until 3 months before they officially invaded, underestimating the consequences and damage of their sanctions. Making the wrong assumptions, the US had expected Iraqi troops would surrender in large numbers like in 1991, whereas they just took off their uniforms and joined the civilians.
Vietnam.
Putting the wrong people in charge. Paul Brenner, who was put in charge of Iraq despite having no idea what he was doing, this all sounds a bit familiar, doesn't it? And immediately banned Saddam's Ba'ath Party, which lost 30,000 experienced administrators, and dissolved the Iraqi armed and security forces, putting 300,000 armed young men out of work and likely irritating them somewhat. Governing from the Green Zone. The Green Zone was an isolated area of Baghdad, from which the US Army conducted itself in Iraq. Many of the people they consulted there were exiles who had fled from Saddam, most of whom simply wanted positions of power after Saddam. Furthermore, it seemed that Brenner and co. were serving US interests, giving 75% of the building contracts to US companies, and was often funded by Iraqi oil profits.